The following sermon is from the year 1680 by John Owen. The use of faith under reproaches and persecutions. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the judge shall live by his faith. You may remember, I speak occasionally from that of the psalmist. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. And from thence took occasion to consider what is our special duty when clouds and darkness are round about us, as they are this day. And some of you know I have had a great persuasion that the clouds that are gathering will, at least in their first storm, fall upon the people of God. I must repeat it again and again. I have been warning you for some years and telling you it would be so. The present frame in which I have to conflict in my own spirit, in that frame of spirit which I have observed in others, the state and condition of all churches and professors, so far as I know, is they are gone into a dreadful carnal security. I speak my heart, and what I know with reference to our present state and the cause of God, we are gone, I say, into a dismal security, which still confirms me that the storm will come upon us, and that it will not be long before we feel it. My design is therefore to show you how we ought to behave ourselves under the perplexities and difficulties we are to conflict with in this world. And I have not sat studying for things to speak, but only tell you the experience of my own heart, and what I am laboring after. I have already showed you what our duty is under the approach of these distressing, calamitous times that are coming on us, and what faith will do in such a season. But I am now in the second place to show you how faith will carry it under other perplexities that either are present or are coming upon us. And here I shall show you how, number one, we may live by faith under all the reproaches and persecutions that do or may fall on us, on the account of that order and fellowship of the gospel, of that way of God's worship which we profess. Number two, how we may live by faith with reference to the returning on us of anti-Christian darkness and cruelty, if God shall allow it so to be. Number three, how we may live by faith under an apprehension of great and woeful decays in churches, in church members, in professors of all sorts, and in the gradual withdrawings of the glory of God from us upon that account. Number one, how we may live by faith with reference to those reproaches, that scorn and contempt which are cast on the ways of God which we profess, that worship of God in which we are engaged, and that order of the gospel that we do observe, with the persecutions that will attend us on the account of it. Truly I may say of it, as the Jews said to Paul about Christianity in Acts 28 verse 22, as for this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. The whole world seems to be combined, that the name of Israel in this way may no more be had in remembrance. There are few that are concerned about these things while it is well with them, their families, their relations, estates, inheritances. Let the ways of God be reproached. What is that to them? They are not concerned in it. They cannot say as the psalmist does when he speaks in the person of Christ. In Psalm 69:9, the reproaches of them, the reproach to you, are fallen upon me. Perhaps some of us are more sensible than others, or at least have reason so to be, of those reproaches that are continually cast on the ways of God, seeing they're more particularly upon us. But to those that are not concerned in the scorn and contempt, I would say three things. First, what evidence of you that you have a concern in God's glory? For these things are those in which God is glorified in this world. And if you are not concerned when there is so many reflection thrown upon it, pray consider what evidence you have in yourselves of any concern in the glory of God. Secondly, what evidence of you that you have a love to thee things, that can hear them reproached, scorned, contemned, and never be moved at it? An honest good man would find himself concerned if his wife or children were reproached with lies and shameful things because of his interest in them. But for them that can hear the ways of God reproached every day, and so long as it is well with them and theirs, are not concerned in it. They can have no evidence that they have a love to them. Nehemiah cries out on such an occasion. Nehemiah 4 verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn to reproach upon their own head, and give them a prey in a land of captivity. God has made special promises to such as are thus concerned in Zephaniah 3 verse 18. I will gather them, he says. Whom will he gather? Them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of you, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. The solemn assemblies were reproached and mocked, and there were some of them, not all, to whom this reproach was a burden. These, God says, I will gather. Gather them under my gracious protection. Thirdly, to add one word more, if you are not concerned in the reproaches that are cast upon the ways of God, persecution shall awaken you, and either make you concerned or put an end to all your profession. Now the inquiry is, how under these difficulties that we have to conflict with, we shall glorify God and pass through them without loss to our spiritual advantage. The apostle in the 10th chapter to the Hebrews, where he describes this very condition I've been speaking of, fully directs us. You endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock by both reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, and so on, verses 32 and 34. But how shall we carry ourselves under this condition here described? Now he says, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. What is the work of faith in this condition? That we may glorify God and carry it through to a good and comfortable issue to ourselves. Call your own hearts to an account and see how faith will work to give you support and supply. I will tell you what I am laboring after in my own heart, and the Lord direct you to find out what will be more useful. What will faith do in such a case? I answer, number one, faith will give us such an experience of the power, efficacy, sweetness, and benefit of gospel ordinances and gospel worship. It shall cause us to despise all that the world can do in opposition to us. Here I cast my anchor and exhort you not to be confident of yourselves, for nothing else will keep and preserve you. An opinion, a well-grounded opinion and judgment will not preserve you. Love to this or that man's ministry will not preserve you. That you are able to dispute for your ways will not preserve you. I can give you instances in which they have all failed. Resolutions that, if all men should leave them, you would not, are insufficient. Nothing can preserve you but a sense and experience of the usefulness and sweetness of gospel administrations according to the mind of Jesus Christ. This faith alone can give you. Desire, says the Apostle Peter, the sincere milk of the word. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Desire, and labor to continue in the ordinances of the gospel and the worship of God under the administration of the word. How, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious? Verse 3. Otherwise you will never desire it. I should hope that, through the grace of God and otherwise I do not hope it, I might yet continue, if indeed I could keep alive. In experience that in the dispensation of the word I find a constant exercise of faith in God, delight in him, love to him. If I find that I come to the word as expecting to receive from God a sense of his love and supply of his grace, I should then, I say, have good hope through grace that 10,000 difficulties should never shake me in my continuance in this way. But if it be otherwise, there will be no continuance nor abiding. I mention these things because, to the best observation such a poor worm as I am can make, there is a mighty coldness and indifference growing on the spirits of men attending to the worship of God. There is not that life, spirit, courage, and delight in it as been in times past, and if so, where it may end, God only knows. This, I say, is the first thing that faith will do in this state. if we set it on work, if we had but labored to stir a faith, to find all supplies of spiritual life and strength in the ways of its worship and ordinances, if we would labor to overcome prejudices and set ourselves against sloth and negligence, we should find ourselves as other men, and greatly set at liberty as to what the world can do to us. This is that which faith can do for us in such a state of things, and this is that I would labor to bring my heart to. Number two, faith in such a season will bring the soul into such an experimental sense of the authority of Jesus Christ as to make it despise all other things. I profess, if it were not for the authority of Christ, I would renounce all your meetings. They would have neither form nor comeliness in them why they should be desired, but a deep respect to the authority of Christ. Unless our evil hearts are betrayed by unbelief and weakness, is that which will carry through all that may befall us. Faith will work this double respect to the authority of Christ, as he is the great head and lawgiver of the church, who alone has received all power from the Father to institute all worship, and whoever imposes in this usurps his crown and dignity. All power to institute spiritual worship is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. What then? Go therefore, he says, and teach men to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Bring your souls to the exercise of faith, that though things we do are commanded us by Christ, who is the sovereign Lord of our consciences, who has sovereign authority over our souls, we must all appear before his judgment seat, who will require of us whether we have done and observed what he has commanded us or not. Do not only say these things, but labor greatly by faith to affect your consciences with this authority of Christ, and you will find that all other authorities will come to nothing, however you may suffer for it. Number two, faith respects the authority of Christ, as he is Lord of lords and King of kings, as he sits at the right hand of God, expecting all of his enemies to become his footstool, as he has not only a golden scepter in his hand, a scepter of righteousness in which he rules his church, but also an iron rod to break all his enemies in pieces, like a potter's vessel. If faith exercises itself upon this power and authority of Christ over his enemies, it will pour contempt on all that the world can do. It cannot be carried before any magistrate, but Christ is there present, greater than them all, who has their breath in his hands, their lives and their ways at his disposal, and can do what he pleases with them. Faith will bring in the presence of Christ in such a season, when otherwise your hearts would fail for fear, and you would be left to your own wisdom, which is folly, and your own strength, which is but weakness. But if you have but faith working in a sense of this authority, it will make you like those well-composed persons in the third chapter of Daniel. Do not wonder at the greatness of their answer and the composure of their spirit. They looked on the fiery furnace on the one hand and the fiery countenance of terrible majesty on the other. No, the God, they say, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your hand. But if not, if God will not give us his present deliverance, be it known unto you, O King, we will not serve your gods, nor worship your golden image, verses 17 and 18. Faith will give us the same composure of spirit, in the same resolution, and with the thing should we relieve ourselves under the worst that can befall us. Faith, in such a case and condition, will bring to mind and make effectual upon our souls the examples of them that have gone before us in giving the same testimony that we do, and in the sufferings that they underwent upon that account. When the apostle had told the believing Hebrews that through all their trials, tribulations, and sufferings, they must live by faith, Hebrews 10, what encouragement, might they say, shall we receive by faith? Why, faith will bring to mind all the examples of them that have gone before you, that have suffered and been afflicted and distressed, as you are now, which account takes up the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews and a good part of the beginning of the 12th. It is a great thing. When faith revives an example, let us then by faith carry in our minds the examples that are recorded in the Scripture. There is the example of Moses. The Apostle gives it us, and it is an imminent instance. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He, by the dark promise he had to live upon, endured the reproach of Christ. My brethren, take the prophets for an example of them that have suffered, and consider how the apostles have gone before us, but do not stop at them, for there is a greater than Moses and the prophets and apostles, greater than even a cloud of witnesses, and that is no less a person than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he underwent the contradiction of sinners against himself, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Faith. Calling to mind these great examples would give us great support under all the trials we may be brought to in conflict with. Whither are we going? And what do we hope for? We would be where Moses is and where the prophets are. But how did they get there? They did not get there through the increases of riches, in multiplying to themselves lordships in the world, but by sufferings and the cross. Through many tribulations he entered into the kingdom of heaven. Faith will receive in the supplies that Christ has laid off for his people in such a season. Christ has made peculiar provision for suffering saints, and it consists in two things. First, in a special presence with them. He will be with them in the fire and in the water. Secondly, in a communication of the sense of God's love to them. Their tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Romans 5:3-5. Faith will bring all these things into the soul, but your minds must be spiritual, or you cannot put forth one act of faith. For to bring in a special provision that is laid out for suffering saints, and very few attain a spiritual frame, where faith fetches in these spiritual consolations. Christ is prepared for such souls. This is one way in which we may live by faith in such a season. Search, therefore, and make inquiry into your entrance into troubles, what sense faith gives you of the love of God to carry you through these difficulties. Number 5. It is faith alone that can relieve us with respect to the recompense of reward. Moses suffered affliction with the people of God, for he had respect to the recompense of reward. Hebrews 11:25-26. Delight in momentary affliction which we undergo in this world works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Who knows? But in a few days some of us may be taken into that incomprehensible glory, where we shall eternally admire that ever we did put any manner of weight on the things here below. Faith will fix your eye on the eternal recompense of reward. We have indeed a faith now at work that fixes the minds of men upon this, that way of deliverance, and this and that strange accident, but we shall find that true faith will burn up all this. Stubble. Number 6. And lastly, faith will work by patience. The apostle tells us we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. And we are to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 6:12. This is something of what I had to offer to you, and I hope both seasonable and useful, however it is what I can attain to in these times of reproach, scorn, and contempt that are cast on us, and persecutions approaching, I say faith will discover to us efficacy, sweetness, power, and advantage in spiritual ordinances, is to make us willing to undergo anything for them. Faith will bring our souls into such subjection to the authority of Christ as head of the church and Lord over the whole creation, that we shall not be terrified with what man can do to us. Faith will furnish us with examples of the saints of God, whom he has helped and assisted to go through sufferings, and who are now crowned and at rest in heaven. Faith will help us to keep our eye fixed, not upon the things of this world, but upon the eternal recompense of another world and glory therein. And faith will also work by patience when difficulties shall be multiplied upon us. John Owen, April 30th, 1680.